Well, if you're joining us for the first time, we're doing a series on questions why. So last week we talked about why relationships are so important. And I'll tell you, I've been wrestling with this message for quite a while, because this is not an easy message. What happens when life isn't fair? And so this is what's happening in the clip that we just saw in Bruce Almighty. There's another person at work, and he's getting other promotions, and he's getting other glory, and he's getting exactly what Bruce wants. And so he's mad, and he's upset, because he's worked very hard to get to where he is. And so he's throwing this little temper tantrum. You ever had one of those days? Where if your life was on a scale, and it was a scale, it seems so unbalanced. It seems so unfair. You worked so difficult. You've done everything right. You've done this and you've done that, and but it didn't happen. And sometimes you feel disconnected from God, disconnected from the people around you, and you get angry and you get upset because life isn't fair. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there at some point. So the question we're going to ask today, or the question that you might ask today, is why is life unfair? Now, I don't have enough time to answer that question, but that is the question, is why is life so unfair? But what we're going to do is we're going to look at this, because guess what? If you've ever asked that question, you're not the first person to ask that question. And actually, as we're going to look at Scripture this morning, this question has been asked throughout the ages, throughout the centuries, throughout the millennium. And so we're going to look at some principles that are going to help us deal with this question, but we're not exactly going to answer this question because it's one of those questions that isn't quite so easy to answer, other than maybe the pat answers or the cliches that you might have heard. But here's a couple of interesting notes. First of all, whenever you find yourself in a position where you're asking that question, why is this so unfair? Usually what's happening, maybe this is just my own personal experience, but usually what's happening is when life is unfair, you're comparing yourself to somebody who's above you or somebody who has something or somebody who's in a state where you would like to be, that you would like to have, that you don't. So in this clip that we saw this morning, it's a job position, and he's been working really hard, and the other person gets it, and he doesn't get it, so life's unfair. So how come? Why? Why is this so unfair? Why did he get it? Why can't I? I should have got it. It's mine, and God's so mean, he should have given it to me, and he's not looking after me, but he's comparing himself to somebody else, to something that he wanted. It's really interesting to note that whenever we ask the question, why is this so unfair? Why is life unfair? We're not usually, I would argue, we are never comparing ourselves with somebody who's in some state or being or situation that is less or worse than us, are we? So when you drive past a person or a homeless person on the streets, you usually don't go, why is life so unfair? God, why are you so mean to me? I got food on my table. And you usually don't go down that path, do you? Or if you're in the hospital because you've got a health issue and you're going through some tests or whatever else it is, and maybe you're a little bit angry at God, but you're usually not comparing yourself to the person who's in the next room who literally has 24, 48 hours left and they know that he's going to die or she's going to pass away. You're usually not going, oh, man, these tests are so bad. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to go down this path. And it's so unfair. And why is that? It's never about that guy or that person. And so it's interesting just to think within context that whenever we ask this question, why is life so unfair? Usually it's when we're looking at something or someone or situation or circumstance that's above or beyond where we would like to be or what we would like to have. I think that's important to remember. Because as we're going to see this morning, as we ask this question, as we struggle with this question, is a lot of times it's about our perspective in life. And the very base assumption, second to all of this, is the assumption that life is supposed to be fair. Now, it's interesting that as you read through Scripture, you will not ever find this concept of fairness. Now, you'll find the concept of justice. This we find throughout Scripture, and that deals with this, some of the harder questions about pain and suffering in the world, but that you will not find this question of fairness. Why did God pick Israel? There were many other nations, many other people other than Abraham. If you read the story of the Israelites, you might go, why did God pick Israel? Like, you look at their leaders, and you look at what they did, and you look at what happened, and you look at the, I mean, talk about a messed up, crazy, backward bunch of people. People that wandered through the desert and saw incredible, miraculous things and led by a cloud of fire and saw God on the mountainside, delivered out of Egypt, and saw the Egyptian people drowned in the Red Sea. They get to the edge of the giants are too big. We can't do that. Like, why did God pick them? Well, that's not fair that he picked them. There's a lot of base assumptions about life being fair. And as you read through the scriptures, you'll very quickly pick up that it's not a concept you're going to find anywhere. But it's a part of the way that we're wired. It's a part of what we struggle with, because we like to compare ourselves to other people. We like to always have things. It's called envy when we see somebody else and they've got something that we don't have and we want it. And we'd like to be that person, or we'd like to be in that position, or we'd like to have that talent or that money. The base assumption is that it's supposed to be fair. Socialism's in our society is that everybody's supposed to be equal. Well, that's not quite the way that it seems to work historically or in this world. So this morning we're going to read a psalm, Psalm 73, if you'd like to follow along. And Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph, and guess what? This is going back a couple thousand years, and he's dealing with this very question. Psalm chapter 73, verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Great statement, an obvious assumption. God is good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Why? For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now think about that for a second. His first statement is that surely God is good to Israel, but to those who are pure in heart. But then as we go down, but I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He's all of a sudden looking at the world around him, and he's going, well, like, they're not supposed to be prosperous. Why are they doing so well? Why is this not fair? They have no struggles, verse 4. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance that they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? So the general observation is looking around. God is good to those who are pure in heart, to those who follow God's commands. But wait a second. I'm looking at the evil people, and they're prosperous. They're doing well. People are looking up to them. What? This isn't the way it's supposed to work. This isn't fair. This is not what you commit. And he's wrestling with this. Verse 12, he changes, though. He says, this is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. Wow. It's almost like the Bruce Almighty clip, isn't it? It's like I'm throwing a little temper tantrum here. All these bad people, they do all these horrible things. Life is good for them. They're amassing wealth. They're doing well. Here I am trying to follow you, God, and do everything right, and my life isn't as good as theirs. This isn't fair. What's going on? Verse 15. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? and earth has nothing I desire besides you. Wow. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Now notice, the question is not answered. Why is this unfair? Doesn't answer the question. But he's able to live with it. He's able to understand the imbalance and to be able to be okay with it within the context of a relationship with God. So what do you do when life's not fair? What do you do when you find yourself in a position like this, when you're sitting at your desk one day and the bills come in and you look at the Visa bill from last month and you go, man, why? Why do I have to struggle with this bill every month? Why do I have to pay this when somebody else, they have no struggles, they're evil, they don't do anything right, they've got all this massive wealth. Why do they not suffer and I struggle? Why? When you go to the doctors and you get a health assessment, why do they do okay and I don't do okay? Why are their kids so good and my kids aren't? Why? Well, you probably won't find the answer, but here's a couple of principles. Are tips that will help us deal with life when we look around us and we see the unfairness or the inequity in life. Here's the first thing that the psalmist does in verse 18. He recognizes that judgment will come. Now, life might not be fair, but God is a God of justice. And so people that do evil someday will stand before God and they will have to pay for their wickedness. For the cowards that are running around hiding behind civilians in Gaza today, for the atrocities that they have committed, that is so unfair for the normal everyday person who's getting shot at and bombed because the cowards are hiding behind them. But someday, those same cowards will be brought to justice, if not in this life, when they stand before God. And there's no exemption. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest leader or the strongest leader in the world. It doesn't matter if you have all the money and all the wealth or have nothing. Every single person someday will stand before the throne of God and be held accountable for their life. Now, for some of us, that's kind of a scary thought. Because if we're all honest with us, as the Bible teaches, we are all sinners. And so all of us deserve judgment. All of us deserve what's coming to us. But the amazing thing about the gospel, the amazing thing about God is that he loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus, as we know, to pay the price for our sins so that when we stand before God, it's all gone. It's washed clean. It's not fair. Why did the King of the universe, the God of creation, have to die for me? Every single one of us will stand before God someday in judgment. And so as the psalmist writing, he begins to recognize and realize, oh, you know what? It's not just about today. It's not just about the inequality that I see now. It's not just about how they're getting away with all this and how they're amassing wealth and they don't seem to have any problems. Someday, every single one of us is going to stand before God and every single one of us will be judged. Sin does not go unpunished. Just before the death of actor W.C. Fields, a friend visited Fields' hospital room and was surprised to find him thumbing through a Bible because he was a staunch atheist. Asked what he was doing with the Bible, Fields replied, "I'm looking for some loopholes," but unable to find any. See, the struggle is in our day and age is that we like to live for the moment. We don't live for the long haul. We don't live with judgment in view. It's so easy to live for the moment for today and not recognize or forget that someday we will stand before God with rewards and judgment either way, depending on our relationship with Jesus and depending on whether we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Revelation chapter 20 is amazing. Picks a picture of this. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, it says this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and I saw there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up their dead that were in it. The death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then the death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So when you're struggling with the question of why isn't fair, remember that someday judgment is inevitable. The second thing that this psalmist does is he maintains a proper perspective of himself. Now, this might be a little bit harsh for us, but it is. He says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. It's a little harsh, isn't it? I mean, most of the time, if you ask us, are you a good person? I'm a good person. I'm a decent person. I like to think I'm a good person. And this psalmist, by all standards, I mean, he's writing psalms that are going to be in the book, in the Bible. And this is what he thinks of himself. When within the context of being in the presence of God, he recognizes who he is. He has a healthy perspective of who he is. See, the problem is we take measuring sticks and we measure goodness based on our own parameters, on our own standards. Many of us believe that people are naturally good, that all you have to do is follow set rules and that's going to make you good. The base assumption is that if you're a good person, good things are going to happen to you. And if you're a bad person, bad things are going to happen to you. And the problem with that base assumption is that when bad things happen to good people, that's when we stand up going, this isn't fair. But the assumption is that we're a good person. The assumption is that we deserve to be blessed. We deserve goodness. We deserve good things in life. Listen to this, October 7th, many of you were alive for this in 1969. The Montreal Canadian police force were sent on strike. Because of what resulted, the day had been called the Black Tuesday. A burglar and a policeman were slain. 49 persons were wounded and injured from rioting. 9 bank holdups were committed. Almost a tenth of the total of number of holdups in previous years, along with 17 robberies at gunpoints. Usually disciplined, peaceful citizens joined the riffraff and all went wild, smashing 1,000 plate glass windows in a stretch of 21 businesses blocks in the heart of the city, hauling away stereo units, radios, TVs, and wearing apparel. While looters stripped windows of valuable merchandise, professional burglars entered in stores by doors and made off with truckloads of goods. A smartly dressed man scampered down the street with a fur coat over each arm with no police around. Anarchy took over. That was in 1969 when society was supposed to be so much better than it was today. 2011, some of you might remember this. Vancouver Stanley Cup riot was a public disturbance that broke out in the downtown core of Vancouver, British Columbia, on Wednesday, June 15th, in 2011. From Briar Hutchinson, blood in our streets, I saw people on the ground bleeding, shattered glass everywhere, police cars set on fire, major bridges are closed, preventing public access into downtown core. Transit is plugged up, there's no way out, more police and fire crews are arriving from the suburbs, but again, it seems too late, and I write this just as the sun has set. Vancouver, what a disgrace. We think we are good people. We think we deserve good things. Well, I'm not like that. And hopefully we're not. But the reality is, if we would put your thoughts on the screen here this morning, and publicly people could see everything that you thought or everything you did this week, would you want that? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, for the sin, for the wrong that we have done. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that has brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have all gone astray. There's no exception. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just remember who you are when you look at the world around you and go, this just isn't fair. Judgment day will come. Keep a proper perspective of ourselves. Realize your dependence upon God. Verse 23, he says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? One of the problems about looking at life and starting to take that little, it's not fair, it's not fair. Why? Is that we lose our perspective. Ultimately, of who's in control of the world, who sees the whole picture of your life and my life and the lives of our children and our grandchildren and our community, and he knows best. And that's really difficult to understand, and that's really difficult to come to terms with, because we can't see God. We're not touching him literally right next to us, and so we have to put our faith, we have to put our trust and our dependence upon him. That means we release the control of our lives and we go, God, my life is yours. Do with it as you wish. And maybe it will be fair. And maybe it will be good by society's standards. Or maybe it might be a little bit harder and more difficult. When pastors in World War II stood up against the Reich and Hitler's army, they did what was right. But most of them ended up in concentration camps, and many of them gave their life. But they depended upon God regardless. Psalm 62, back a few chapters, says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Suffering, unfairness, injustice that we see in the world around us can drive us to depend more on God. And lastly, drive us into the very arms of God, into his presence. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I love it when he's wrestling with this. It says he goes into the presence of God. The Old Testament, that meant that you ran to the temple and the outer courts. And if you had privilege and access because you were a musician or a Levite or one of the priests, then you could go into the inner courts and you could go close to the Holy of Holies and you could experience God's presence. But for the average person, this was a foreign concept and a foreign idea. But when Jesus Christ came, not only did he deal with our sin in our life, not only did he deal with our perception of goodness, not only did he deal with the evil in the world around us and conquer it so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could be forgiven, so that someday when we stand before him in judgment, he'll say, you're forgiven, I don't remember your sins. Not only did he do that, but as he left, he told his disciples, hey, stay in Jerusalem because I'm going to send the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And what happened was in the book of Acts was God's very presence, his Holy Spirit, came upon the early church. And when you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, when you have a relationship with him, you have a relationship with his Holy Spirit that lives and dwells inside of you, which is the very presence of God. And so when you're looking at the world around you, when you're opening those bills, when you're wrestling with the health diagnosis, when you're dealing with the kids or the grandkids or the family members or whatever the perception of unfairness or inequity in life, the first place we should run is to God in His presence. Now, 99.9% of the time, you can yell and scream at Him, God, this is so unfair, why, and that's okay. The psalmist did it. Why are they doing so? Why are they prospering? Why are they doing it? You can yell, you can vent, you can rant at God. It's okay. But as you enter into His process, His presence, and as you start to vent, it's kind of neat what happens. At least this is my experience. You start to forget about the inequity. You start to forget about the circumstance or the situation that's just so unfair and got you so riled up. Because when you enter into the presence of God, this is exactly what happens. You begin to remember, someday I get to stand before Jesus. And it's not because I'm going to be judged for my sins, but because He's going to welcome me in as His son, as His daughter. Who cares that they've got more stuff than I do? Someday I'm going to stand Jesus. He's going to love me. He's going to welcome me. It means all of a sudden I realize, oh, when I'm entering into the presence of God, you know, if you've had sin and I hope you've experienced it, because I have all the time, you come into God's presence like, oh, crap, God, I did it again. I'm so sorry. And what happens is when you enter God's presence and when His Holy Spirit begins to stir in you, you go, you begin to realize I'm not as good as I think I am. I'm still wrestling with sin. I'm still not perfect. And so, God, I need You to forgive me. And all of a sudden, it becomes less about the situation, about the other people, and all of a sudden, it becomes about me, because now I'm in God's presence, and now I'm remembering, oh, He loves me, and I'm going to stand before Him on Judgment Day someday. But also, oh, yeah, but I've also got this sin that I need You to forgive me about, because I thought this, did this week, or this day, or last 5 minutes ago. So God, please forgive me. And all of a sudden, you begin to reorientate yourself, and you begin to remember who you are within the context of God and a relationship with Him. You begin to remember, hey, I'm only here because God's given me the privilege to be here. I only have whatever it is that I have, my health, my money, my family, my kids, whatever it is that God's blessed you with or given you, small or great, because God gave it to me and I'm just a steward anyways. And so God, take my life, take my possessions, take my family, take my future and use it for Your glory. And help me to forget about all that inequity and the things that I think aren't fair. See how you just go from throwing the little temper tantrum? Just breathe. And it's okay. Why is it not fair? But I'm going to depend on God and come into His presence and remember that someday I get to stand before Him forgiven, totally healed. Possessions will be meaningless. Health will have no significance because I'll get a perfect body. Relationships will be perfectly restored, and the conflict in this world will be long gone. Because God is perfect, and the creation and the home that He is making for us is perfect. And the practice of being able to sense His presence and live in His presence in this world is only a foreshadowing of what is to come. So what do you do with this? As we go from this place this week, let me encourage you to do a couple of things. First of all, look to the future. We don't want to rush it. We are stewards of the time and the resources and the talents that God has given us. But someday, I'm going to get to stand before God. And when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's a good thing. You don't need to find a loophole. You don't need to escape. Because you're going to stand before Him and you're going to be forgiven. It's going to be awesome. Look forward to that day. Depend on God. The moment you look at life, the moment you're dealing with something, the moment the little temptation comes up to go, this is not fair. And you're starting to feel that bubble up in the emotions because it may be because legitimately it's not fair. Remember who your God is. Remember who you're called to depend on. And trust him. Trust that he knows best. That he knows what's best for your life, and often even for the lives of those around you that you don't even know yet. Sometimes he takes you through trials and inequity, and life's not fair, so that he can use your testimony and your example to bring somebody else into the kingdom of God or to bring them closer to him. And you will never know that until you stand before him on judgment day and you go, oh, I went through that for this? And lastly, keep on working with that relationship with God. Keep practicing the presence of God in your life. Talk to him. Read his word. Be in his presence. Put a CD on. Take the quiet time. Pick up an instrument. Use your voice, whatever it is, however you access God. Spend time in his presence. And let him build into you and worship him. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the scriptures. How they are so relevant to life. How questions that we have as we look at the world around us, we're not the first, nor will we be the last. I thank you, God, that you have given us examples and people that have come before us that have wrestled with the same things with us that we do and given us pointers and ways to help us deal with life around us. Father, for those of us that love you and know you and have a relationship with you, we look forward to the day where we stand before you, forgiven and welcomed in as your son and your daughter. We declare our dependence upon you. We yearn for your presence in our lives, to spend time with you, to be with you, to hear your voice, to cultivate that relationship and give you thanks for it. If you're here this morning, you're listening online, and you've never invited Jesus into your life, you've never started this relationship, and you've been listening to this message this morning, you're realizing, yeah, you know what? There are things in my life that separate me from God. There are things that I'm maybe not quite as good as I think I am. And yeah, life is unfair, and there's things going on that I'm comparing myself, but I really want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to experience his presence. I want to be able to forget about that stuff. I want to be forgiven. I want to know that someday when I stand before God, I will be forgiven and I'll be welcomed in as his son or his daughter. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You can't earn it. It's just an ask, an invitation. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. And fill me with your Holy Spirit, your very presence. You will start a new journey and a new life. Jesus, we are so grateful and so thankful that you know everything, you look after us, and you love us, and you care for us. Help us to remember all this. We look at the world around us and we see things that just aren't fair. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.